This is Stanley Davis from Missouri Scorchers.
This is Jordan Johnson out of Glasgow Rocks.
My name is Aaron Anderson from the Sheffield Sharks.
This is Brandon Peel of the Newcastle Eagles.
This is Andreas Kapoulos, head coach of the Bristol Flyers.
This is Lorenzo Gugini of the London Lions, and you are now listening.
You are now listening to the BBL show.
Welcome to season 2, episode 24 of the BBL show. I am Jay Marriott. He is Drew Lasker. A weekend of battles. The competition is hotting up as the race for the playoff places are on. What are you seeing during Sky Sports duty, Mr. Lasker?
Man, like you mentioned, it's becoming so wide open that it's ridiculous. Besides the Leicester Riders, everyone else, I mean, I cannot call three. I mean, I got to assume that London's going to be second if they don't. Or first, you never know. Like you say, it's unpredictable, but like 3 through 8 is bananas because we know that Surrey's going to finish last. I can almost guarantee that Glasgow is going to be 9th now. But other than that, no one wants to prove that they're the 3rd or 4th best team, right?
Yeah, it's getting a little bit chippy out there, which is certainly fun for us here at the show. Anyway, we are here a little bit later than usual. Crazy, crazy schedules for both me and Mr. Lasker, but we always make it work somehow, some way. So this week's episode, we are with former London Lion Orimas Majauskas as we talk about their European campaign this season. You know, we always look back with Lasker, nominate players of the week, and we get into those hot topics and buy or sell our butts off. But first, it's your social media spy. It's the Marriott Minute. Okay, we start with the heartbreaking news that former Shark and Phoenix player Alto Virgil has sadly passed away. All at the show give love and prayers to his family. I most definitely remember him as a player, great player in my time on the benches. Henry Wilkins has returned to the Surrey Scorchers, as well as adding big man Desmond Ringer. London Lions have parted ways with guard Jordan Spencer. The general, Gino Crandell, has reached 1,000 points in just 66 games. Ali Fraser of Glasgow Rocks has reached 2,000 BBL points, whilst Connor Washington has reached 350 games. George Townsend pointed out that Sky Sports referred to Glasgow as the Rockets, fueling the fire for the race to the Rockets' name between Reading, Birmingham, and do we now add in Glasgow? So great tweet there, brother. Don Owen celebrated a perfect weekend of predictions with Mr. Lasker as he ties it up with me in the race to Season 2's Prediction Championship. Help a guy out. Todd Lindley is on Twitter looking for clubs to help him with his dissertation. Let's all get behind him and get him over the line. So hopefully that's a great shout out for you right there, Todd. And finally, the London Lions with another social media faux pas as they post their former logo and ask who it reminds them of, receiving a sea of answers with just one name, Vince McCauley. Is he coming back? Are they changing the logo again? Or is this just another dopey tweet by the Lions? And that's this week's Marriott Minute. I'm always watching.
Man, the British Basketball League is heating up, man. It's getting juicy. We've been talking about this. We needed a little oomph, and I think we're starting to get that. I mean, hot topics, I don't even know where to start. There's so much to touch on. I mean, maybe we should start and give the fans some insight on how you and I have been chasing each other's tail all week. Like, I live in Newcastle, you live in Plymouth, but I end up in Plymouth and you end up in Edinburgh, so we're on the other side of the country. We've been staying up for one another all night trying to catch each other, and it's now Wednesday night.
Yeah, I mean, all I could say is I most definitely started that, so not available for the interview. So Drew kindly took that and did a fantastic job. So thanks for holding it down, brother. I was in Edinburgh, and then we drove back in a snowstorm. So that was that's a story for the memoirs later on, guys, if you ever want to read that book. Then obviously we were trying to hook up Tuesday, but I had practice. And then after practice, there was a football match here at the football ground. So all the fans were still here, and they ended up staying super late. So then Mr. Lasker couldn't stay up any longer. So we tried to go for the early morning. The early morning didn't work because Mr. Lasker was tired, so he couldn't get up. So I was sat there ready to go. But finally, we've managed to make it work. Sometimes it has to be a little bit late, guys. We try to be as consistent as we can, but we just laugh it off. We're cool customers around here. We know sometimes it has to work like that.
Well, I mean, like we say, one of the toughest things is being in this industry is why you see so many people fall off is the consistency. It is very difficult not only trying to get on the same page with guest schedules, but you and I, because you and I do a lot of different things. I'm here in a hotel in London with no microphone or nothing. And we just, you know, I was like, let's just get it done. So here we are. So if I sound fuzzy, I'm sorry, but it's all good. But I mean, like I mentioned, there's so much stuff to talk about. I was listening to the Sunday night breakdown on my train here to London. And if you want to get the details, then go listen to that, because, you know, Dan and Dave break that down to a T. But I mean, what are your thoughts on that? Because I can't remember a time in my career where a whole two benches has been ejected.
The whole Patriots Flyers thing, like, has just been simmering, right? I mean, it's been a fantastic rivalry. If I'm honest with you, like, we're looking at old school 90s NBA basketball right now. These two teams do not like each other, and they are fighting for position, and there's lots of outspoken characters on social media and just adding a little bit of fuel to the fire. But yeah, definitely, it was a strange game in so many ways. I know Dave Forrester was saying that, you know, perhaps Bristol were a little bit hard done by and had to fight through things, but every game has just been magic. And the winners in all of this is the pavilions. Like, it seems like that place in particular has been the narrative for some incredible games. So forget who wins, forget who loses. But actually, I really, truly believe that the Patriots are starting to make something of this season, which is insane. Because at the start of the year, yeah, I felt like they were just flatlined. And then all of a sudden, the narrative has changed. Surrey have gone into free fall. Glasgow Rocks have gone into free fall. And all of a sudden, Coach James has managed to put this team together. And, you know, credit to Williams and Hassan. They've been huge pieces for them. Kofi Joseph, obviously, like, bringing some magical games. But also as well, it's all the unsung heroes. Like, if you look at LVC Dusha and Joe Hart right now, like, their performances have been huge, consistently huge. And then the young pieces, or the unknown British pieces that are coming in there with a chip on their shoulder, it just feels like it's turning for them. So I'm happy for those guys. Bristol are in a spot of bother now. Like, it looked like you said, early on in the season, it looked like a new recruit, looked a little fresher, looked a little different in terms of style. But can you change who you really are? You know, like, I think Andreas's teams are built that way, and it's not a criticism. I just think he's tried to change it a little bit this season and ended up reverting back to type, and he's just got to try and find a way to get some wins under that.
Well, like I said, maybe last week or the week before, I said Bristol has an opportunity to finish the highest seeding they've ever finished. Mm. But I don't know. I said I need to see more. It was just something about them that I just wasn't sure. I knew that they didn't have enough, but I needed to see more. We see more, and what do we see? A 500 ball club. So, you know, you don't understand how difficult it is to sustain greatness over the course of the season. Hence why you got to give kudos to the Leicester Riders, the Newcastle Eagles, who did it for 20 plus years, which is ridiculous. But speaking of the pavilions, it's kind of ironic that this is the last year of the contract, and the pavilions is known as a place that hosts what? Concerts, shows. Well, what other better entertainment are you going to get than what they've been providing on the basketball court the last couple of weeks, right?
Yeah, I mean, look, everybody knows it's one of the best places to play in the country when it's absolutely rocking. And you know, the narrative has just changed. It's been great. Like, they've been struggling, you know, can they get out of it? And then they add these pieces, just slowly but surely adding pieces. And then the whole, like, Williams against Evans thing has been great. That's just been, like, two players just wanting to go at each other, as well as, so there's even more of a narrative right there. So, yeah, I mean, it, you've got to be sad that we're going to lose the pavilions as a venue from the BBL. You know, that hurts just a little bit. And the thing is, wherever they find, it's going to tough to replicate that, because you've got, like you said about the concerts, you've got all the equipment to provide an entertainment, right?
Yeah.
And you're going to lose a little bit of feel right there. But the fans are still there, guys. They're still turning out. You know, those stadiums have been full the last couple of games. So is it going to be a good send-off?
Yeah, well, the things that we said earlier, we never questioned Plymouth's effort. We just said they didn't have enough talent. And now that they have talent, you clearly see the potential of this team. And isn't it crazy? We were here, when was it? Maybe like November. And we were, I know that I had put Coach Gareth Murray as Coach of the Year candidate. And we were just really on the Glasgow bandwagon. Jordan Johnson was in the top five, MVP candidate. And the Plymouth City Patriots have a higher seed, more wins than the Glasgow Rocks. Like, it's just incredible. And this is why it's so important for teams, because it was getting to that point where I saw conversations of, and even with the Newcastle Eagles, I saw it on the Twitterverse or social media channels, that the team should just pack it in, save up money for next year. Well, this is why you don't. This is why you have to exhaust all resources to the end, because you never know what can happen. And now look, Newcastle Eagles, you know, they got lucky. They did get lucky with the services of Justin Gordon being available, but now they're 3-0. And the Plymouth City Patriots, all of a sudden winless, now they got 5 wins. And guess who plays on the 11th, ladies and gentlemen? The Plymouth City Patriots visit the Newcastle Eagles, and that's going to be an amazing game, two of the hottest teams in the league. So I think the league is in a great place. And you mentioned it last week, the Sky coverage and all this content surrounding the league. I mean, I had a 6-hour trip today and I was, you know, I was filled by the Sunday Night Breakdown and Below the Rim podcast, and boom, you're now welcome to Lennon Paddington. I'm like, oh, already? So, you know, it's just a great time to be a British basketball fan.
Yeah, for sure. There's just so many narratives playing out right now. And I mean, it's absolutely terrible in terms of our seeding. So when we start revisiting the predictions and stuff like that, there's just no way. But honestly, I think every team has understood that 3 through 8 is wide open. And that's crazy. Like, you never would have thought that at the start of the year. As you said, it looked like Eagles were in 3-4. We talked about it last week. And I said to you, you know, bizarrely enough, like, this whole Gordon Peele thing could just click and it could just work.
You did.
You know, like, I know they've still got to play some tougher schedules yet. You know, they need to see some tougher games. But, you know, it seems like Peele is enjoying the running, mate. So, you know, long may
coming off the bench, by the way. Who would imagine that Brandon Peele would be coming off the bench?
Yeah, but think about it. Like, I think he's a great human being. You know, and honestly, like, when we interviewed him, he said the same thing. Like, what does the team need for me to win? And it wasn't working. Like, whatever it wasn't working. Coach McLeod has obviously had the right conversation with him to put him in the right mindset. And at the end of the day, like, I say the same thing to our girls. Like, it doesn't matter who starts. You know, like, if you're playing big minutes and you're contributing to a winning team, that's all that matters. You know, everything else is just ego, right?
I would say that's easier to say to a 28, 29-year-old than it is to a 21, 22-year-old. That's for sure. You just, when you're young, you just don't understand that. It's about who finishes the game. Everyone, you know, imagining themselves running out those starting lineups. But at the end of the day, it don't matter. It matters who's getting those crunch time minutes. So you talk about seedings. And this is why, flipping back to the Bristol Plymouth game, why you can see a vein popping out of Coach Andreas's head, because one game changes everything. If I'm not mistaken, I need to look at the ladder, and I haven't looked. Is that 2 wins for Plymouth against Bristol? Is that the tiebreaker? That's the tiebreaker. So, like, now Plymouth are all of a sudden 2 games on them. I'm just going from memory, guys, but I think Bristol has 6 wins. I think Plymouth has 5. And, you know, if Plymouth gets another win, they put them both on 6, then all of a sudden Plymouth are 2 games ahead of them. So these tiebreakers are going to really determine of how this thing kind of lines up. And then we also have to think of this side, that a side that you and I understand, but a lot of fans don't understand. Again, these are coaches and players playing for their livelihood. So it's deeper than just, oh, we beat the Plymouth Raiders. No. This stuff gets deeper. So guys are playing to put food on their table.
You got to look around the league at the moment. There is a lot of uncertainty as well. You know, so and I think that's providing the competition. So, like, I think Coach Andreas has got to be feeling some kind of pressure because they're moving into that bigger stadium. I think that there's an expectation from the Flyers that they've got to start performing better than they have, more consistently than they have. But I would say, arguably, like, looking at it from my lens, is I always felt that they were going to just go through a little struggle this season because they lost their band of guys and they've got to replace those band of guys. And I don't necessarily think that British core is as talented as that group that they lost, you know, so they just need to fight through that and grow. And I'm sure they'll add a few more pieces next year and they'll be fine. You know, Surrey right now, if you look at Surrey, they flatlined. You know, what does that mean for Coach Creon? What does that mean for those players as well? Because one thing you'll understand, Drew, from being a player is that we've got to manage this balance, like you said, of performing in the moment and making sure that you're being a great team guy and trying to get wins. But also as well, you're thinking like, will I have a job next year? And who's getting picked up when you're one and, you know, whatever it is they are right now. And it's the same thing for a lot of other players. You know, Newcastle Eagles are not used to being in that position. Like you said, Gareth Murray's going from coach of the year on our lips to, has he got the minerals to deliver that? And it's hard, guys. Like, I've been in the same position as Gareth, right? You know, I've been there and I've missed out that one spot of making the playoffs. That one spot makes a difference. You make that eight spot and anything can happen in the playoffs. You could dodge a bullet. You finish ninth, you're getting shot at, brother.
Yeah, I think I even said it on the broadcast. I said, if you paid me $1 million, I would not be a player coach. It is incredibly difficult. I even asked Gareth off air because he didn't play in that Sky game and he's one of their top five players. And I was like, why don't you play? You know, the team could really use you. And he was like, they need me more on the sideline. And I was like, well, where's your assistant? But I was like, he's right there. And he was like, no, he's not. And there's a guy that looks exactly like him with the bald head and everything. Alan Keane.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Boom.
But, coach, you're a great coach.
Sorry.
But there's a guy on the bench that looks exactly like Keane. And I was like, that's Keane right there. And he was like, no, Keane's not here. And so they needed him more on the sideline. But it's funny that you mentioned about the fact of, I always say March is a time, depending on where you are in the standings, that you'll see those bottom teams, they start focusing on next year. And Fab used to always make me chuckle because he would say, around this time, guys start being real friendly. All of a sudden, before game, they start shaking my hand and saying, hi, coach, and how you doing and all that. He's like, yeah, they trying to get in them good books, baby. They trying to get that, you know what I mean? They trying to get that contract. So yeah. You'll see a lot of that. But besides Surrey, I don't think it will be because everybody is playing for something, and it's a great place for the league. But, you know, moving on. In this segment, I only got one question for you because I was kind of befuddled when I saw it. And basically, you mentioned in the Marriott Minute that Jordan Spencer has been let go by the London Lions. So my question to you, which I saw on Twitter, is Jordan Spencer the best backup point guard in the British Basketball League? Are you buying?
No, I'm selling on that.
You got to think about that.
I'm selling on that. Yeah. No, he's... No. It, my thing is, like, has the potential always been there? Yes. Obviously, I think, like, where it didn't quite translate with him was his short period of time in Riders. And the whole Lions thing just confuses me. Like, it confuses me. You know, like, I hear a lot of noise in the background about the fact that the problems with their program is off the court, not on the court. And it just confuses me. Like, there's a lot of players there. And believe me, guys, you know, I played professionally for 10 years. Like, people will tell me money, you know, but who wants to be the 15th guy, like, hanging around in that group? You know what I mean? And, like, last year he had a tough year. This year he's having an even tougher year. Hopefully he just goes somewhere to play basketball. It's such a short window, guys. Like, just go play. You know, I'm sure he can pick up a job, but definitely selling on that fact.
I was about to say that I'm very disappointed of you because I don't even know what there was for you to think about. Because I'm like, have you ever heard of this guy called Connor Washington?
I mean, well, the reason why I didn't answer it is I was trying to compute that, like, were you messing with me or not? Like, I was trying to figure out.
Oh, no, somebody put that on Twitter, and I was like, Dude, no. I understand, like, you know, there's good guys and you got friends, yeah. but Jordan Spencer is not the best backup point guard in the league. I mean,
no disrespect. He's a good player.
No disrespect. I like Jordan. Jordan's cool. I'm just saying, Connor is, you know, and everybody else falls below that. But, you know, I scratch my head with this one because in 2017, when they won the league, it was Jordan Spencer, you know, tagged up with the two-time MVP. And he had an amazing year. And I was like, man, London is going to be great for years to come because Jordan, he had played so well. I was like, he's gone. He's gone to Europe. And I think he actually did leave. He came back and then he went to Leicester. It didn't work out, but he was like a 40% shooter or close to it. And I don't know what happened. He's hesitant to shoot. On a scout report, it's go underneath. And, you know, it tells you two things. What injuries do to you in this game and how much this game is predicated on confidence. Like, because, you know, Jay, everybody at this level can play. And you were a shooter, so you can shoot with the best of them. But if your confidence isn't in the right place, it don't matter what you can do physically. It don't matter about your skill set because, you know, you can't even, you know, get outside of your own head. So, you know, I just wish, like you mentioned, Jordan probably just needs to go somewhere and play next year, get his confidence back and become the player that we all saw. We have to remember Jordan Spencer is a Division II champion. Hmm. So we're not talking about a scrub. We're talking about a kid with a great resume. And I say kid because I would think he's still under 28 years old, right?
Yeah, I think that a lot of it made sense at the time, and it just didn't work out. It hasn't been the right fit. And like you said, it's all about situation. You know, if you come into a game, you want to feel comfortable, right? You know, and we've probably all been there in those games where you've come in and you're just not feeling comfortable. You're not feeling your rhythm. Something's just a little bit off, and you can just tell that with him. Like you said, he can really shoot the ball, so there's definitely something wrong there. But interesting question, Mr. Lasker, but good one. Anyway, moving on.
It's time for the BBL Show Player of the Week.
I've actually gone for four nominations. So usually I'm a very strict man and I stick with three and I'm pretty brutal, but I think it would have been tough to leave out the man that we just mentioned. Connor Washington of the Leicester Riders had himself a game. 17 points, 10 rebounds and 5 assists for a 30 index. We also saw Larry Austin of the Cheshire Phoenix going for 17, 7 and 9 for a 31 index. Antonio Williams, we talked about him earlier, had himself a huge game at the Pavilions, 35 points, 5 rebounds and 11 assists for a 34 index. And then Justin Gordon, he is back, the flight himself, 24 points, 9 rebounds and 3 assists for a 32 index. Guys, you know what to do. Make sure that you get your votes up. We know there's going to be a little bit of a shorter period this week, but we do what we do. And I have a quick question for you, Mr. Lasker, before we move on to the look back. In terms of Justin Gordon, are you surprised that he's just come back in and it's just kind of clicked and it's business as usual? And then the other thing is the BBL like his league? It just fits his overall game, what he does, what he's about.
Yeah, good question. I think that, well, first of all, to answer your first question, no, I'm not surprised. He had an amazing year last year, a two-time champion. He was the Cup final MVP. And there was long stretches where, you know, he was our best player at times, you know, obviously other than Fletch, but he was our leading scorer for a while before he got injured. And, you know, it's something says about comfortability. You know, he's coming back to an environment that he knows. He's coming back to a city that he knows. He knows where the grocery store is. He knows where the gas station is. All this stuff is very important. You know, he knows Defoe. He knows Fletch. He knows the coach. The only thing difference is having fans there. Other than that, everything's the same. It's the same offense. And to your point about the league, I think with the BBL, there's just a lot of freedom, a lot more freedom than a lot of other leagues. And a lot of other leagues, you're put in this box and you're expected to play this one role. And sometimes it's not for everybody. It just goes to show you how difficult it is to make it in Europe. And it's not always just about talent. It's just about so many other factors, like we mentioned, all those external factors, obviously on-court language barrier. And, you know, so to anyone, someone like a Dre Jones, who's gone off and played A1 series Italy and had an amazing career, you got to give a shout out to those guys, because it ain't easy. It ain't been a lot of guys that's left the BBL and gone on and just really had themselves a great career. I think PJC, is that how you say his name? The point guard from Cheshire, who just was back visiting last week. He was the Pro B MVP, and then he's in Germany BBL playing some amazing basketball. So, but it's rare. But yeah, I'm not surprised about Justin. And I'll tell you what, for a Newcastle Eagles fan, it's just in the nick of time. So it's better be lucky than good sometimes. So anyhow, let's get this show moving along to the Lasker look back. In this episode of the Lasker look back, let's revisit the London Lions European adventure. After being disqualified last January due to COVID, with the league and country riding on their shoulders, Vince and company delivered in the first round, going undefeated into the final game against the group favorites, Meri Beirut, a game which London won earlier on the Germans' home floor, 91-81, but ultimately fell to second in the group after losing the points difference, losing out 97-78 in that home tie. Despite being runner-up, it was a massive accomplishment for the London Lions, which means they progressed to the next round. But it's a game of margins. That 9 points difference pushed the London Lions into a much tougher group in the next round. In what looked like a jam-packed December schedule, which featured trips to Turkey, Russia, and Denmark, all would be delayed due to COVID. And games were moved to January, which the Lions would lose their momentum and ultimately lose coach Vince McCauley. James Vere takes over the remaining schedule, and the Lions go winless into their last final game versus the Bakken Bears, which ultimately was a dead rubber game. But a win's a win, huh? All in all, a huge success in the tournament, and one of many bright spots was Arimas Majauskas. Only limited to European basketball, the Lithuanian finished with a solid 10 points and 3 rebounds. Fairly unknown to British fans, let's get him in the room so we can get to know him a little better. And that is your Lasker look back.
And great look back as always. So let's do it. Let's get the former London Lion, Arimas Majauskas, and hear about these European adventures.
All right, Arimas, welcome to the show, man. How you doing?
Doing well. Thank you for having me. Hello, everybody. Doing well. Just hanging out.
Nice. Well, everyone knows that I'm always a little bit off with my name. So first of all, out of 10, how did I do pronouncing your first name?
You did pretty well. You did pretty well. For a foreigner, you did well.
For an American, what you mean. But yeah, thanks again. Yeah. Obviously, you just left the London Lions. You played in the European competition with the Lions. But before we start off, you were used to being in the pressure cooker of Europe. But I'm going to put you in the pressure cooker of the BBL show and put you right in our hot seat. Kicking off with, what is your favorite shoe to hoop in?
These past 2 years, I probably hoop more in KDs. Yeah, in KDs. I really like them. But I don't really have preference. It just goes year to year. It depends what shoe fits me more. And that's how it goes.
Yeah, and for our fans out there, that's very rare for a basketball player not to be picky. So that's good news. What about your favorite shoe off the court? Is there anything that you like to rock consistently when you're just out there going about your day?
Yeah, I'm not a shoe guy, you know. Probably in the team, I have the least pairs of shoes from everybody. I'm like, you know, just have like Air Force, that's it. Like some like casual shoes, some dress up shoes, and that's it. I don't have a lot of Jordans and stuff like that. However, guys have, I'm not a shoe guy.
Hey, do you? I like that. Okay, what about your favorite all-time athlete?
I would say my favorite is Dirk Nowitzki. I watched him growing up a lot, and yeah, he changed the game in NBA for Europeans, and I really enjoyed how physical and his mentality, and that he stayed with Dallas Mavericks through all his career. So yeah, he's my favorite all time.
Yeah, definitely a loyal guy. What about your favorite meal? You just lived in London for a couple of months. A lot of great eating spots. What's your go-to meal?
London has a lot of places to eat, a lot of great places to eat, definitely. I mean, in London, I have a couple of places I go eat. If I want to go eat pizza, I like this place in Shoreditch. It's called Pizza East. I go eat there sometimes. But yeah, it just depends what food I like. It's I'm not really picky with food too. I'm not a picky guy. So it just depends what I'm crave, you know, like. But London has a lot of great spots, great Italian spots, Spanish spots, any kind of cuisine you want to, you could go. I really enjoy going into markets like Borough Market, Portobello Market, and trying out every like different type of food, like Jamaican and stuff like that. Then, of course, we enjoy going to Cabbies. Cabbies have amazing food there. We eat there as a team sometimes, and so,
yeah, definitely London. Yeah. London definitely has a lot of places. You just got to make sure you have your pocketbook with you. That's for sure. What about your favorite movie genre? Are you a rom-com action guy, a love guy? What you like?
I like scary movies a lot. I like thrillers, psychological thrillers and stuff like that. Of course, if I like comedies. I think everybody loves comedy, you know, like just to have like just after like a game or something, relax, or before the game, relax, watch a good comedy, good vibes. And yeah, that's but if I have to pick, I really enjoy scary movies.
Nice choice. Well, let's talk about your actor or actress. What's your favorite actor on screen or actress?
Ooh, that's a tough question. From comedies, I really like, of course, I like Kevin Hart, Jim Carrey. I like those guys, Rock. So it's for me, I don't have a favorite. It's all about the movie. If I enjoy the movie, I like the actor or the actress, you know? It's hard to pick on the spot. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was not prepared for this question.
Well, you're not supposed to be. That's why it's called the hot seat, man. But what about favorite musician? Anybody you got heavily rotation on your Apple Music?
I listen a little bit to rock, so I like AC, Bon Jovi, all those guys, like old guy. I'm probably in the team always have the different genre than everybody else, you know. I listen to everything. I like hip hop. I like some Drake. Who else I listen to? I like Eminem a lot. I listen to Eminem and stuff like that. So I'm bouncing from one place to another all the time. Depends from the mood, depends how I feel, and it's just how it is. I listen a lot to Lithuanian music.
So let me ask you this. How many times did the team ask for your playlist on the bus?
Yeah, that's never happened. I'm not allowed to touch anything, like no speaker.
All right, final question. Yeah. What's your favorite travel destination? Obviously, you spent time all over the world. Is there one particular place that you just fell in love with?
I would say Spain, Balearic Islands. I really enjoy Ibiza, Menorca, stuff like that. And Greece, probably like Santorini, Crete, those islands.
Well, you don't need
Hawaii or Bahamas, so can I say?
yeah. Well, finally, plug your social media where people can find you on Instagram, Twitter. What's your handle name where fans can get out there and learn a little bit more about you, get into your life?
I don't really use Twitter. I have a Twitter account, but not really like using. Just I have it just to have it. I was forced in America to get one by teammates. but yeah, I use Instagram. Of course, I use Instagram. So you could find me by name, Audimus, M-A-J. So yeah, you could search me there. But I'm not a social media guy.
Yeah.
Don't post a lot.
Well, you're now off the hot seat. And I think there's if there anything we learned about you in that rapid fire section is that you're just the easy, low-key guy, which is really low maintenance, which is the great recipe for being a good teammate. But let's just talk a little bit about your journey. You know, I picked up there on the internet and saw that you had played your prep school in LA. Just talk to us a little bit about how you ended up from Lithuania all the way to Los Angeles, California.
Yeah, so it was kind of crazy too. My senior year in high school, I have looks from high level teams in Lithuania, but I got injured my senior year in high school, and I barely played that season. Like I had to get surgeries and stuff like that. So after the season, it was difficult to recover and everything. And my friend who already been in US high school, he said like usually for tall people, skilled tall people, is good to go to US. And like he gave me advice. I talked with a couple other players and stuff like that, and decided to try go to US. Of course, it was difficult to go straight to college because after an injury and everything like that, nobody really, it's hard to sell a player like that. So I decided to go to prep school and just to show my skills and everything. And I played there for, I think, like 5 months, 5-6 months. And I got some Division I offers and decided to take it.
Right. And you ended up taking your talents to my hometown, Houston, Texas, at Sam Houston State University. And what was it about Sam Houston that made you make the journey from, you know, beautiful California to hot, muggy Houston, Texas?
And I had like, you know, I had an offer from California for Long Beach State, too. So it was, but I felt like Sam Houston was more like a family. The team was like more like a family. They really, people around the program really care about players and stuff like that. So for me being so far at young age, so far away from home, it was one of the priorities that I would feel comfortable. The second was, of course, playing time. They guarantee me that I will not need to redshirt or anything. I'll play my freshman year. I don't know how much minutes, but they guarantee I'll play every game. So, and I enjoyed Texas. So from cold country Lithuania, you know, in the winter it's really cold here. So going all year kind of warm weather is very, very nice.
Well, yeah, it definitely is nice. And we spoke off air and you actually played in my high school gym, which is called the Merrill Center, which is, you know, really cool. I always say that basketball is such a small world and you can find something that you can relate to any basketball player out there. But you know, we spoke in a rapid fire about your favorite food. And now Houston has a lot of different places to eat. I mean, is there one place that you enjoyed? I mean, I know for me, I love me some papados. Wait, is there any place in Houston that you enjoy?
Yeah, I love papados too. But I really enjoy Texas barbecue.
Oh,
Texas
yes.
barbecue a lot. Yeah, yes. Texas barbecue, like brisket, ribs and everything. Tex-Mex food is pretty, pretty good too.
Yes, sir.
Houston is that area when you need to watch what you eat because portions are very big, you know, and the food has a lot of calories. So, yeah. But I think I tried my favorite probably barbecue place used to we call this like church barbecue. It's in the town where the college was, and they opened like. I think the church people started it off and they open maybe 2 days a week. And yeah, but they're doing an amazing job and the food is pretty good there.
Yeah, I mean, you think about how the transition was for me. I went from that to coming over to England 15 years ago before the food has improved massively in this country. But I went from having big portions to small portions and saying, you know, where's the rest of it? So definitely can relate there. And so you played all 4 years at Sam Houston State, and then you work your way over to Europe. Just talk to us about your journey where you've played up into the London Lions.
Yeah, so my rookie year, I started at Serbia, which was a lot of people thought it was weird because I had offers to play in Lithuania First League, but I decided to jump in right away to be a foreign player in another country. So it's of course coming from, you know, America, when everything is like simple and everybody takes care of you, to more to Europe, more strict, more result driven country, you know, right? Nobody really cares how you feel. It's like more how the team does. So first year was really tough for me in Europe. That's why after first year I moved back to Lithuania, playing Lithuania. In Lithuania, then I got injured. I had to get 2 surgeries in 1 year, and decided I couldn't play until New Year. So after New Year's, I joined the Iceland team, actually, which was crazy. Crazy, you know, to join in Iceland. I never thought I would play in Iceland, but that was COVID year. So COVID year, the season got cut short. And that was another obstacle, you know, we did good, but like the season cut short, all the leagues were canceled, like everywhere in Europe and the world, you know. Mm-hmm. And after that, I decided to accept the offer from Ukraine, because the offer came in really early, very early in the summer. And I didn't know what to expect after COVID. Like, you know, that was first summer after COVID. So I decided to take the offer in Ukraine, which I had, I think, my breakout season. I had a very good year. We were underdogs. We were picked to be last. We made to the finals. And it was my breakout year, big role in the team. And in the summer, I got an offer from London Lions. I decided to take this job.
Yeah, so moving on to the London Lions, what was it about the offer, the organization that, you know, attracted you to the team?
I got, like, honestly, when I got the offer, I asked a couple questions. Everything, like, what they offer suited me. I really wanted to be a part of something that could be, like, historical moment, you know? So, to, like, make history in something, that's why London Lions were like a perfect spot, and they play European competition was another challenge for me, you know, to take, because before that I never played in like FIBA Europe or something like that, just local leagues. So it was a challenge for me myself, you know, and of course English speaking country, you know, like there's no, like, it's easy to adapt and everything, you know. The organization was, I only get, like, good words from the organization and everything. And everything I heard about it was pretty good. So I'd make a decision maybe in, like, 20-30 minutes. Yeah, I'm going to London. Yeah. I just knew, like, by my feeling, I want to go there. And that's it.
Well, let's talk about the specifics of the contract, because this season, you only played in the Europe Cup for London Lions. You didn't play in the BBL. So was all that laid on the table for you? And was it laid out that after the season, you know, your contract to run out? Just talk to us about exactly what was the wording in the contract regarding you.
Yeah, it was from the beginning. Of course, I knew I'm just like, because London Lions only search for a player to strengthen the roster that could play only European competition. It was me and Marcus, so I was the second one. And when I accepted the contract, it looked like, oh yeah, it's gonna be, everything gonna be okay. We're gonna play once a week and everything. So, but during the year, of course, it became more difficult because, like, we play in Treviso. After Treviso game, we have a month off. We don't play no games for a month. Then we jump in, have another games. Then, like, we have a week off or 2 weeks off. So in, like, when you think about it, like from September to beginning of February, we play 13 games only, which is like really small amount of games. So you have to train a lot. You have to stay in shape, but you don't have a game feel that much as the other guys have. You don't have a feel with other guys. You don't connect as well, of course, in the court. So it was challenging, but everybody understood our situation and we tried to make the best out of it. So, nobody really forced to sign us these contracts. We accepted it and we knew what we have to do, to bring our best every game, because for us, you play one game bad, you have to wait for another game for a week. You don't play a week. And so for us, every game was like kind of like gold medal, like we needed it. Like we need to play good every game. So yeah, so it was actually difficult, but of course the atmosphere and everything was, I enjoyed a lot. I enjoyed being in London and playing with this team. And yeah.
I can imagine of how tough it is to have to wait for so long between games. And that's one thing I was always intrigued about, was how was the balance in you and Teague in regards to practice? Because after the European competition, the guys got to get ready to play Plymouth, ready to play Leicester. So would you guys participate in practice? Would you sit out? How was that balance?
Yes, we will participate in practice. But of course, for guys, they have to get like easier practices because they have a game again. And for us, we need to prepare. So we did a lot of the coaches did a great job, of course, assistant coaches and head coaches did a great job of giving us individual workouts. Like we would work out with them and we play a lot one-on-one against Marcus T. And it was difficult for us, but coaches did everything to keep us in shape, to make us get us prepared for the next competition. And of course, like, we would practice, but then you kind of like do the scout team or something like that, because like you don't really play, so you need other guys to get the reps, to get a feel what other teams like, prepare for other teams, because we don't really play in the BBL, so we would get like less repetitions in practices though. But everything worked out, I think, pretty well. Of course, it was difficult, but we were professionals. We know what we have to do, and we just tried to do it.
Yeah, and everything did work out great. I mean, you guys, moved on to the second round, which was, unprecedented for an English team. And I think when it comes to European competition, the experience that, everyone in the country was rooting for you guys, and it was definitely a success, because the better you guys do, the more recognition that Basketball England receives. And so you guys are moving in the right direction in the BBL. You're 3-2. You haven't played many games. And then all of a sudden, a bombshell comes out. And Coach Vince McCauley, who is Mr. England when it comes to, being a pioneer for one of the games in this country, news breaks that he gets fired. From your perspective, is that something that you saw coming, or were you blindsided by it as well?
I would not like, it's difficult to comment on this kind of situation, I always say basketball is a result driven industry, like every sport, and I would say I don't think I saw it coming. I didn't see it coming, but management make a decision. They would answer this question better than me, because I don't know a lot of stuff what is behind, and if it's a good or bad decision, I think you're going to see at the end of the year when how many trophies they win, if they're able to win the trophies and stuff like that. Things happen in basketball. People get fired. It's not my first time that people get fired and stuff like that. It's just how it is, part of the business you're in. It's tough. I know it's tough and I know it's tough for Vince, because he's been a part of London Lions from the beginning, and it's not easy, I know, for anybody, but it's just how it is, this industry. It's harsh.
Yeah, I mean, you can relate, because obviously you played around Europe. I can relate because I follow the NBA, and these things happen. But for our league, it's really unprecedented, because we haven't gotten to that point to where it's, caught up to where it's a business. So it's a result based business, like you mentioned. So it's kind of normal. But for us, and in regards to a lot of fans who follow English basketball, it's new and it's something that the league is going to have to get used to, especially if they're trying to move in the direction that we want to move in. It's just going to be one of those things that becomes pretty common. And obviously, Coach Veer takes over for the remainder 3 or 4 games for you guys. How was that transition? Is this something that this is a guy that you didn't know anything about, or had he been involved in the team and it was a smooth transition? How was that transition with him coming in and finishing the season?
He was a new guy. He like they introduced him and everything. And of course, when you bring a new coach, you know, he has new ideas and everything. It takes time. You know, that's why at the beginning, our game, like how London Lions play, didn't look like we are moving up, you know, like we didn't play good and stuff like that. But it takes time for new coaches. It takes patience and everything. Like, you know, you have to give a guy opportunity, and like you need to be patient, you know. Like, I think he did a good job, you know, to get change some things, you know. Maybe I don't know, it's hard to tell for me now, because I was there for a short time compared to other guys, like, you know, like but I think everything will be okay. I think they're moving forward right direction, and it takes time. I think everybody, the fans and everybody, just need to be patient. You know, that's how it is.
Yeah. And so you had an opportunity, a front row seat. I actually saw you on a lot of home games. You and Teague sat there on a bench for BBL basketball. And I want to get your perspective, because you're someone who's played high level. You played around. This is a league who just got an influx of cash, $7 million to be exact, pumped in. It's on Sky Sports for 2 years now, and we're trying to move in that direction where we want to be compared to the other leagues in Europe. And what was your perspective on the league as a whole when you would come see these teams roll in? Was it better than what you expected? Was it worse, or was it right around what you thought it would be?
I think it was better what I expected. I think that league has a couple solid teams, definitely a couple solid teams. Some teams need to catch up, but, you know, it always, everything reflects in the money, you know. Like, if you want to, if you do not produce enough young talent, you have to buy players. And to buy good players, you need to have money. So, you know, for those teams, maybe it's harder when the budgets are not as high as those top teams, you know. But definitely the league, I was thinking the league that is going to be weaker when I arrived, but it actually surprised me in a good way.
And that's what's important with the London Lions plan in Europe, because from my plan days, when I tried to move around and stuff, it would always, the feedback from agents would come would be, you know, a lot of these leagues didn't respect England. So no matter what my numbers was, it didn't matter, because they just didn't even pay attention to it. But, you know, it's becoming evident now that the more attention we get on the league, that it's a lot better than what everyone on the continent thinks. It just needs more eyeballs on it, which is why the TV coverage is really important. And if you think about the personnel, you know, all these guys have come from big Division I colleges. And like you mentioned, it just needs to be a little bit more infrastructure in place, which is the plan moving forward. What are your thoughts for the future of the league? Do you see it being somewhere attractive for foreigners to come and play it? I mean, speaking of your experience playing for London, being a foreigner, is this something that you think in the future will be the place, a hotbed for European basketball?
I would say so. You know, UK is a big market. You know, it has a lot of potential financially and everything. Some teams maybe need to increase the facilities and stuff like that, but to like be a higher level. But first of all, it's a English speaking country, you know, like there's no, like you, when you go, like, you know, different European countries, different food, different language, different lifestyle. And, you know, London, you know, it's like you don't have no kind of like, adjustments to do, you know, when you come American, to you don't have to do no adjustments when you come as an American, you know. You it's English speaking country, food, you could find any American food, and stuff like that, you know. So I think it's for foreigners, it's going to be, it is a very attractive place to play, you know. It just, I think what stops a lot of players to get there is reputation, you know. So I think more times you win these European games, you get more reputation, you know. Like people don't, like players do not know what to expect. They, you know, whatever, they haven't been here, so they believe what was told to them, and that's it, you know. So when the reputation gonna increase, I think there's some facilities, of course, you know, the budget's a little bit increased, and I think London would, like London and all England would be a very good place. All Britain would be a very good place to play for foreigners, especially.
Yeah, you mentioned that's why that European competition was so important for the league. So we appreciate, you know, you bringing your services here and really helping pushing the London Lions and our league forward. And, you know, obviously you're catching up with us from your home country. And finally, what's next for you on the cards?
Yeah, for now, I'm just like waiting to see all my options, working out, staying in shape, spending a little bit of time with my family, because I've been away for a while. I really think I'm going to join some, I know there's some team interest, some teams already offered, but I'll wait, you know, I cannot reveal anything. So I'll wait and see what is the best options. I'm probably going to finish the season somewhere and then see what next season brings.
Awesome. Well, we'll make sure we're logged on to your Instagram. I know you say you didn't post much, but once you sign that contract, you're going to have to post that new teams for fans to be able to follow your journey along. But we appreciate your time. It was good getting to watch you this season, and we all wish you good luck in your future.
All right, fantastic interview. Thank you, Mr. Lasker, for holding it down this week. We have had crazy schedules. Hopefully, all back to normal next week, as I do believe we're heading close to International Women's Day. That will be coming up very, very soon. So we're excited about that as we celebrated last year with a great success. Thanks as always. I think it was fantastic to hear. Get that European insight. Don't forget your votes on the Player of the Week. And of course, we'll be back next week. Drew, lead us out.
We will be back next week on our regular schedule. I'm going back home. Jay will be home for a little while. I know he has a home game Sunday, so we'll be back. I'll have my gear. You guys will hear me sounding crisp, but thanks for bearing with us this week. Aremus has been a great guest for us. Like Jay mentioned, we got some good stuff coming for you guys. Next week's pod, we got some ladies coming on to celebrate International Women's Day. And then on March 7th, we have our live event, which we had last year. So we're looking to get bigger and better for that. And do what we always do, be inclusive, put some shine on these women who are doing big things for not only the BBL, but British basketball and all. So until then, it's midnight. I haven't eaten. Jay is at the office. We got to get some rest, some food, and we getting out of here. So we will see you guys same place, same time here on the show.
The show.
Thanks for listening to the BBL Show. The BBL Show is a 21 Media original podcast produced by Corey Mallory with your host, Jay Marriott and Drew Lasker. Keep up to date with the show by following the BBL on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram, where you can find details on future episodes, events, and fan interaction. Until next time.